Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early on in my ministry career, one afternoon, a man showed up in my office and introduced himself as the newly appointed pastor of the local United Methodist Church. And before he left my office that afternoon, he invited me to join him and another clergy colleague for breakfast later that week, and thus began a pattern of weekly Thursday morning breakfasts among three clergy colleagues. My Methodist colleague was a wise and seasoned pastor, whereas I was young and green as the summer grass, but we developed a wonderful collegial friendship. And as I began to know this group, at first our conversations were mainly small talk and shop talk, as I'm sure happens among colleagues in every profession. And then one day, just out of the blue, in between forkfuls of hash browns, my wise and seasoned colleague looked me right in the eye. And he said, "Ryan, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul?" I have to admit, I was taken aback because that's a different kind of question, isn't it? That's different than a simple, "How are you?" or even, "How are you feeling today?" And when a brother or a sister in Christ, someone who obviously knows you and cares about you deeply, ask you that kind of question, it's enough to cause you to pause with your fork in the air and do a little soul searching. Soul searching. That's precisely what is happening with the psalmist in the text that is before us this morning. This summer, we're preaching our way through the book of Psalms. And as we've said all along, the book of Psalms isn't a book in the classical sense, but rather an anthology, a collection of prayers and poems and songs that was gathered together over a long period of time and preserved for us in our Bible. We're not preaching all 150 Psalms this summer, but rather pulling something of a sampling. And today we come to Psalm 42, wherein the psalmist, whoever it was that wrote these words, whoever our ancestor in faith was doing some soul searching. So I invite you now to listen for a word from God from Psalm 42. "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How is it with your soul? The psalmist who penned these words might answer with a single reply: thirsty. Did you notice all of the water imagery in this beautiful text? As a deer pants and longs for flowing streams. My tears have been my food. I pour out my soul. The climate in the land of promise is largely an arid one, but far to the north of Jerusalem, high up in the mountains, is the source of the Jordan River. And as the water springs forth from the rocks and crashes down through the canyons on its way south, it roars through the valley. And the trees and the vegetation that line its banks are as green and cool and lush as anything you'll find in the Blue Ridge. How is it with your soul? We don't know how or why it got this way, but the answer of the psalmist is thirsty. And I suspect that yours might be the same, my friend. The events that have transpired in 2020 around the world, around the nation, indeed right here in our own community, have been enough to leave anyone panting and breathless. And then as we try to think about the months to come, as we try to figure out how we might safely return students and faculty to classrooms, and whether and when to resume important events in our community that in years past we've always taken as a matter of course, as we try to balance safety in our economy, well, that's enough to wear anyone out. As cloth masks over faces trap the Georgia heat and humidity against our faces, as the acrid smells of tear gas and smoke and spray paint fill up the air, as our nation prepares to mark its 244th birthday this week, while we are still struggling to live into its founding ideals that state that all people were created equal by God and endowed by God with rights that are inalienable, and therefore all people are entitled to equal protection under the laws of this nation. As yet another election season fills up our airwaves and social media feeds with bitterness and enmity and outright hatred, well, that's enough to make anyone pass right out from exhaustion. How is it with your soul, my friend? If the answer is thirsty, you are not the first child of God to ever feel that way. If the answer is my tears have been my food day and night, you are not alone. If the answer is my soul is plumb tuckered out, perhaps there's a word from God in Psalm 42 for you. So where do you go when your soul is thirsty, when you are feeling parched and dry? Where do you go? What do you do to get filled up again? For the past 11 years or so, my family and I have had an annual tradition of gathering at the beach with five other clergy families. Those days every year, there by the endless ocean, those days of sharing and laughing and playing and praying with those pastors and their spouses and their families, those are days every year that fill me up. Those few days at the beach with those dear friends refresh me and renew me and give me strength to continue laboring in the vineyard of the Church of Jesus Christ. This year, however, it did not seem wise to us for 12 adults and 14 children from three states to share a house for a week. And so we canceled this year and hope to pick up where we left off in 2021. But I'm missing those days and those people. What about you, my friend? Where do you go when you are feeling dry? Where do you go when you end up panting like a breathless deer, longing for the flowing streams of God? And what do you do when circumstances that are beyond your control prevent you from getting there? Do you get angry? Do you get frustrated? Do you get bitter? Do you despair? All of those are understandable responses. And the psalmist, you can hear, psalmist is struggling. This is a fight that's going on within the psalmist's own soul. But the psalmist also invites you to do something else. To remember. To remember the places where you have found the flowing streams of God in the past. To remember the places where you have heard deep call to deep. Where you have experienced God's waves and billows wash over you as the sound has filled your ears. To remember the sound of the throng, the great multitude keeping festival, singing praises to God. The kind of remembering that the psalmist invites you to is not nostalgia. It's not pie in the sky and a sweet by and by. No, this kind of remembering is foolish, even dangerous, because this kind of remembering dares to say, yes, this is how things are now, but this is not how they've always been, nor is it how they always shall be. This kind of remembering invites hope. One of my favorite movies is The Shawshank Redemption. It tells the story of a man named Andy who was falsely accused and wrongly convicted of a double homicide and sent to prison. At one point in the story, Andy manages to lock himself in the prison office and to broadcast a piece of beautiful classical music throughout the entire prison over the loudspeaker system. And for this stunt, Andy is punished with a month of solitary confinement. When he returns, his fellow inmates ask him about his time in the hole, as they call it, and he says, "It wasn't so bad. I had Mozart to keep me company." And his friends, incredulous, say, "They let you tote that record player down there?" And he says, "No. The music was in here. It was in here." And he looks at his incredulous friends and he says, "Don't you have something deep inside that they can't get to? That they can't touch?" And his friends say, "What are you talking about?" And Andy says, "Hope. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." My friend, if your soul is feeling parched, I hope you will remember what it is like to drink deeply from God's well. Not with nostalgia or sentimentality, but with brave, fierce, faithful hope that you will drink again. My prayer is that you will remember who and whose you are, and that there is nothing, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we look around together, as we live and move and have our being together, as disciples who live out our faith in this place we call First Presbyterian Church, I think it's safe to say there are some thirsty souls out there. There are some parched people on these streets. Jesus says that blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus says that when we give so much as a cold drink of water to one of these who are our brothers and sisters, we have given it to him. So even in these strange days, let us remember. Not with nostalgia or sentimentality or rose-colored glasses. Let us remember who and whose we are. While we wait and we long for the day when we can join the festal procession again, when we can praise God with shouts, shouts in a decent and in order Presbyterian way, of course. The prophet Micah reminds us that we don't need festivals or ceremonies to know what is right. The Lord has shown us what is good. The Lord has shown us what is required in season and out, in times of drought and in times of flood, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. So let us remember who and whose we are. Let us remember not with mourning or despair, but with hope. Hope not placed in any human institution or group or candidate. Hope that is not centered in our own human capabilities, but hope in God, in whom deep calls to deep. Hope in God, whose waves and billows wash down through the rocks and the canyons. Hope that acknowledges that our souls may indeed be disquieted and downcast and thirsty and dry. Hope that says that mourning and crying and pain and death are all too real, but they are not, and never will be, the final things for those who are in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.